Welcome to the Bicycle Media Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the health of the cycling industry.
Not a lot of people had that tone that just said, ride whatever bike you want to ride.
Try and really focus and make sure the rider has a great experience.
There's a couple of things about building a custom bike.
What these e-bikes can do,
the customer just wouldn't take no for an answer kind of thing.
I think in a way we're in a sweet spot where we don't have all this stuff tying us down.
We just discussed about making the cycling industry more welcoming for a woman.
The bike mechanic was right there on the floor.
Something that Weir has really done well in the last couple of years is driven by rock and roll.
So in this podcast, we're going to talk to a mechanic, to bike shop owners, to race event managers, brands big and small. You can visit us at liftvalet.com/bicycle. In this episode, we're talking to Jeffrey Bryson, the owner and operator of The Bike Room, which is a bike mechanic school located in Canada up in the North Shore of Vancouver. And he also runs The Wheel Thing. You can check them out at bikeroom.ca, just bikeroom.ca. Some differentiators about the school, you know, small class size, they teach the principle, not the procedure. And of course, they let you try multiple tool sets to find out what different tool set really works for you. And they've got a 2-week program for mechanics as well as a 4-day intensive. And their service manager program looks awesome as well. So he talked a lot about some pointers about the bike shop and the overall look and feel and about being profitable. And that ties into definitely what he's got with his service manager program, where you're learning to hire mechanics, track productivity and profitability, and set the flat rate chart tailored to your shop. Really great conversation. He's doing a lot of cool stuff out there. I intend to get out there. I want to take the 2-week course, spend a little time learning more from Jeffrey and his crew. But for now, here's my interview with Jeffrey Bryson. Well, I just want to start off, kind of tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, downhill racing experience and to where you ultimately became the owner-operator of the Bike Room. And why is, you know, turning that passionate cycling individual into a mechanic so important to you?
Well, bikes are my life. I grew up in Edmonton, a little shop opened up down the street from my house. And, you know, I was there pretty much every day after school. This owner of this shop taught me bicycle mechanics, but he also taught me a lot more like about the world and life and supported me and made me feel I was a part of something. So I guess deep down, Bike Room makes me feel like I'm helping people become a part of something or kind of giving them that foot in the door to become part of something. My history is bicycle mechanics. I've done a lot of racing myself. Racing on the Canada Cup and the BC Cup for about 10 years. I had a pro license. So I was kind of took the variables out, made it my bike, not a part of the, you know, my bike, a big part of the reason I did well, kind of taking the variables out. You know, I can always control how well my bike's going to ride. Not necessarily myself, but my bike for sure. Kind of graduated more into mechanicking for race teams. I'm the national team mechanic, so I go to all the big world champs all over the world every year and help the Canadians get down the hill. And I've also done some mechanicking on the EWS. I worked with the Rocky Mountain team for a season, making sure Remy Gauvin and Jesse Melmed got to their races, the start line with nothing to do but ride their bikes. My jobs have been working with MEC, opening up bike shops all across Canada. When they were getting into bikes, so I was a services coordinator there. So I coordinated a lot of the learning, a lot of the how the bike shops looked, operate, what they would charge, how they would charge, kind of the social and the culture side of things as well. And worked at a lot of bike shops on the North Shore here, John Henry's on top. Worked a summer in Evolution Bike Shop in Whistler. Now I run Bike Room and run a service shop here as well called Wheel Thing. A
couple questions based on what you said there. You know, what are some of the big differences you see in being a race mechanic versus shop mechanic? So that's the first question, right? I assume it's more about having a pack, a very select amount of tools, but also that. And so two-part question, you know, race mechanic versus shop mechanic. And you talked about the culture of a shop. I think that's so important. The work that I do with Bicycle Media, I audit a lot of shops. I come in unannounced. I just get a vibe and a feel from sales and service. But talk a little bit about the difference of race versus shop mechanic and then just setting up a good vibe for a shop.
I think there's a lot to be said, your work ethic or your, like how you get things done. I'm noticing myself in that race environment when you had to do things really quick. I did them well. And I noticed at my shop, you know, if nothing's pressing, I'm not getting it done. If it's pressing, I start to work a little bit quicker, a little bit smarter. When I was on the EWS, I was in Tasmania, and across the pits from myself is my second race at this level. Sam Hill's mechanic was there, JC. And I kind of wandered over to him and we started chatting about stuff, and very open guy. And I asked him, where does the mechanic's ability come into play when you're mechanicking for a guy like this? And he kind of sat there, he like took a little bit of time, and he answered with, you know, when Stevie Smith, he's like our fastest Canadian, when he won world champs, his mechanic, Nigel Reeves, he's probably one of the best mechanics out there, one of the best mechanics on the circuit. The time, amount of time he spends making sure that bike's perfect. On that day, Stevie Smith's bike was the best bike, the fastest bike, the best tuned bike. But on that day, nothing would have stopped Stevie. He's like, you know, he could have ran a clapped out 2007, blah, 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 and still won that race. She's like, the mechanic's ability isn't as much in the bike. It's giving confidence, and it's a rapport with your riders, a rapport with your customers. Something that I tell my students is there's a big part of the mechanic ability, but there's a big part of knowing your customer and being able to talk to the customer and communicate with the customer, communicate with your staff and that. And when you have, you know, especially if you're learning, and a lot of these people are, and they're going back to shops and they just have their, you know, service manager, or they are running the shop, and that's why they're, you know, with me. If a customer comes in, they need something done and you haven't done it before, talk to the customer, say, hey, this isn't something I've done before, but I'd love to do it. And, you know, you're not 100% confident, but a customer that wants to work with you, you know, come in, I want you to ride tomorrow. Yeah, I can do this for you today, but drop your bike off, you know. Having that relationship is very important.
That ability to build rapport as part of what makes a great mechanic. You know, what are some of the other things that make a great mechanic?
So shop image is huge. For me, myself, that shop image, you know, when people come into my shop, I want it to be clean and you know, things in its place. And because that gives me confidence. We have a lot of shops you go in, you know, you see the service areas or that are like crazy, like a bomb went off. Two sides to that. You know, I always say, like, you know, how can you fix my bike if you can't sweep the floor? But then, you know, they'll answer back, well, the artist doesn't sweep the floor. You know, so there's lots of sides to these things. Myself, I like to keep a clean image. I feel that, you know, if we're kind of take our industry to the next level, you know, when you go into these high-end car dealerships or these car dealerships, it's presentation is a big part. And that part, I believe, plays a crucial role in us, yeah, moving forward.
That leads me into my next question quite well, is I understand in Canada that it's not maybe treated as a trade. And what do you think it's going to take to get there? And do you think that is important? Is it, you know, important to be certified, or is it more experience based? And because a lot of us, I think, that I've spoken to believe that if it goes the route of being an official trade, that the bike room becomes one of a select few official schools. Do you think Canada is headed towards treating it as an official trade the way it is in other countries?
Ooh, lots gets brought up in that question. So when I opened first, I thought, you know, I was going to be a big part approaching government and doing all this and being a part of a green seal trade, you know, having, you know, bicycle mechanics, you know, be a part of this government program or something like that along those lines. But the more I get into it and the more, you know, opening up my own service shop 2 years ago, I'm not sure if we do need that. I was getting all my shop, you know, the plumber came and the electrician came and I needed all these inspections on my shop and that. And I, you know, a lot of them came in and just shot the shit with me, talking about, you know, bikes and all, your bike shop. Oh, and what are you doing? And da da da. And oh, you're gonna service these bikes. Cool, cool. And then they would go to leave. And I'm, oh, hey, what about the inspection? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, if it becomes like a big thing, then they're gonna be taking more, you know, precautions. You know, if you're opening up a car dealership a car service shop or something like that, I think there'd be a lot more regulations to it and a lot more costs involved as well. So I think in a way we're in a sweet spot where we don't have all this stuff tying us down, but we also don't have this officialness and that. Yeah. So I believe what's going to really push certification in that is probably, you know, when we see e-bikes and they're going faster and they're on the trails and we start to see more and more and more, is insurance. Being able to get insurance in your shop and this and that, you're going to have these certain cores. Your mechanics are going to have to all be certified by this or so on.
The podcast is caffeinated by Roasty Coffee Company, a small batch coffee roaster and cafe in Short Park, Alberta. They now offer free home delivery in the Edmonton area and free shipping Canada-wide on orders over $36. Check them out at roasty.ca. That's roasty.ca and order yourself some. So thanks, guys, for keeping us caffeinated. You know, because it's well known you can't sell bike service online. So having a good service team is important. Talk a little bit about the right fit for the 2-week program versus your 4-day intensive.
Ooh, well, our 2-week program is for the mechanic or the rider or person wanting to get into the service shop. It's kind of your foot in the door. It's a confidence booster. I believe a lot of people could go get a job without having any training in that. Takes an individual. But if you're going to a service shop with something like this under your belt, they're intrigued. They look at it like, oh, okay, he's taking the time. He spent some money. He wants to be here, or she wants to be here. So I'm going to, you know, take my chance with this person and train them up versus someone that just comes with me with a resume, but it's been dropping them off at the hardware store or the Starbucks or whatever. So it's giving your mechanic just that confidence, putting their foot in there just to go in, hey, I've done this. And in our programs or in that program especially, we, on the Saturday of our course, of our 2-week course, we go and we visit bike shops. We go and try and get as many under our belt on the Saturday and see service centers and shake hands and kiss babies. And on a lot of those ventures, when we go to these shops, the service managers are handing these guys business cards and saying, hey, come talk to me when you're done, or hey, come this weekend. Or, you know, a lot of times we're in these shops and they're like, hey, do you want to build a bike for me right now? Myself too is kind of trying to give confidence, you know, to get in there and start that learning. Our 4-day, some people just tag it on to the 2-weeker, but it's kind of our comeback after you've been in the shop for a year and you want a little bit more learning. You know, you've had the learning go, it's a bit more intensive in that we try to get you to think about the dollars and think about productivity as well. What do you have to charge for this? What can you charge for this? And how do you charge for it? Just trying to get people's times. You know, if you're going to charge $90 and your hourly rate's $90, then this has to be done in under an hour. And understanding why that is, and then, you know, how to be more proficient at it. A lot of our programs in that, we try to teach you how things work versus how to do it. So in the next year they have the new one come out, it's not like, oh, I only know how to work on the old one. It's like, well, the new one's pretty much the exact same thing. They just use a different color or different tool. Or so we want to get you to understand how things work, and then you can go to the tech doc and you understand what that tech doc's saying.
Do you think that there is, you know, something to be said about the mechanic and their efficiency when they're not trained? There's a gentleman locally that's, you know, been guiding me along just in even rebuilding my bike. And he's a Barnett guy, right? So he's very front to back. He's a little more regimented. He's an old school mechanic. I think he still has a flip phone. the guy's a beauty. And he said, you know, why go back and forth? Or, hey, if you get sidetracked, you know that you've worked from the front and you're now in the middle. So you're never caught without a routine. Is that part of your teaching pedigree of, you know, have a routine and stick to it and be consistent, know what you need to do, lay out your tools ahead of time? Can you talk a little bit about sort of your approach to the bike mechanic instruction?
So before question you asked me, you know, growing my business into a government thing, government certification and that, you know, thinking about
what Barnett's does and UBI does. I'm not sure I would want to grow into something like that. Mm-hmm. My abilities in that, I love to teach. I'm very, very hands-on. I get people are constantly working with their hands all day. We're like a service shop. We have a maximum of 5 people in our class. So I can push the ones that are a little bit stronger. I can help the ones that aren't necessarily following along as quick and kind of keep the class moving at a relative pace. You're getting a lot of information and understanding the information as well.
One thing that I liked from your website is you said, you know, we teach the principle, not the procedure. And I think that that's very important.
Yeah. So teaching how things work. I've been to Barnett's before. And, you know, I love what they do. And the first shop that I worked in called Wheel Thing in Edmonton, the owner was a Barnett certified. He was very much like that, you know, front to back, back to front, down and up, up and down, taking everything apart to put it back together. Very thorough. Barnett's, when they were teaching us, they were telling me to hold things differently. You know, I went to Barnett's as a 15-year mechanic and my goal was to go in there and get 100%. I'm like, I'm really proud. I'm really happy I'm going here. And on day one, I got minus 0.1 because my brake pad was off tangent by 0.5 mil. And I just like, I didn't understand. You can't go in 2 weeks and be number one mechanic. It takes years. You know, in 2 years, you're going to come back and be like, oh man, I thought I was a good mechanic, but now I'm really good mechanic. And then in 4 years, you're going to come back and, oh, I thought I was a good mechanic there, but now I'm even better. So our approach is different. And, you know, I have people that help me with my business and help me see all sides of the business. And I know myself, I'm very hands-on. I need to see to be able to do and watch. And then I need to do it, be able to actually learn it.
I think learning styles is important. I got a couple more questions as we shift gears here. I have a podcast tentatively scheduled for a former student and a good acquaintance of yours, Jessica Brissol.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Just wondering, you know, females in the industry, what do we need to do to bring more of them in? You know, from my time with the Toolbox Wars, Katie's got a great career as well. There's a few of them coming into the industry and we need more of them. One of my favorite bike shops in town has a female mechanic that's been just so great in educating me. What do we need to do to get more females in the industry?
Well, first off, Jessica is one of my favorite people. One of my favorite mechanics. She kind of comes in and just, you know, happy as ever all the time. Nothing stops her. Nothing stops her learning. All the women that have come through our programs, they're the ones that always ask the questions. They're the ones that write things down. They're the ones that, like, you know, oh, this is how I learn. Like, they'll be very direct. And this is what I need to get out of this course. And this is what I want to get out of it. So in a lot of ways, they're very easy to train. They're easy. They're looking, you know, right from the start to get what they can. A lot of the women that come through my course are very good at multitasking. They're very good at, you know, can be halfway through one job. I can say, hey, can you do this and get this and da-da? And they can just stop what they're doing, go on to this next job, finish that, and then come back to what they're doing. You know, when we get a lot of the guys in the service shop, they're very, like, they don't want to, you know, say that they don't know something. They don't want to be that guy where it's awesome when you got a girl in the class and then she's asking all the questions and you can just tell everyone's getting a lot more out of it. I think a lot of the guys, when they get in there, they just want to fix bikes, be that person. Whereas I see the women being a lot more helping everybody in the shop fix bikes and helping everyone in the shop being productive. And then at the end of the day, being profitable.
How can more people learn about the bike room?
Well, our website, social media, talking to shops, even just, you know, what do I need to do to get into this shop? I've been thinking about bike room and have them look at it. And, you know, would you hire me if I took this course or would it be a benefit for me if I took this course? Even if you're ever in North Van, try to find us, stop by, shoot me an email. Just come and say hey and hang out. We got a nice classroom here that overlooks Vancouver Harbor and a good place just to, yeah, talk bikes.
Cool. Well, we'll put some show notes links together. So bikeroom.ca for website and social media links. We'll throw that up there. A bike shop has to have a good look to it. It has to be professional. It's easy to get compensated to do what we love, which is fix bikes, but to put in that extra time to make sure that everything looks good, is running profitable, I think is important. So thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate the time and look forward to it.
Big thanks to Jeffrey for his time. The next episode is with Vanessa Lebrun, and she's with Giant Canada. And she's their Live brand specialist. We talk a lot about women in the cycling industry. It's going to be an ongoing theme for the podcast, and later in the episodes, we'll connect with Mia Constantino, who's with United Sport and Cycling. We're going to talk a little bit about her work and bike fit, but Vanessa is definitely got a busy portfolio. She does a lot with the individual retailers. She's also doing a fair bit with Crankworx, and she's in charge of their social media. So Vanessa and I had a good chat, a little bit of fun audio stuff that we had to deal with, but we managed to crank out a good podcast here in late March. So thanks again for tuning in. Be sure and check us out at liftvalet.com/bicycle. Of course, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And again, our podcasts are available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Continue to send in all the great feedback. Really appreciate hearing what you guys think. And some of our listeners are even suggesting who we should interview. So I love that too. Totally able to take your content feedback and suggestions and go from there. Hope everyone's staying safe. And tune in for the next episode.